This is instead of finishing work by Saturday night. If I could, I would scratch my head in utter amazement at how God orchestrates things. But if I were to do so, I would surely knock my block off with my flailing cerebral palsied hand. If somebody wants, you can scratch my head for me. Or, much, much better yet, give God a clap offering, such as Bill James has us do when he comes to minister. Receive our praise, Jesus, for you alone are more than worthy to deserve all of our praise, thanksgiving, and honor. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. I guess that it is time to start my sermon, but I love that. Didn't you? What makes life exciting and worth living is for whom we are living. We must continually ask ourselves this question. For we can either live for ourselves selfishly and be always empty without any real purpose, or live for Jesus Christ, who, in return, gives the most abundant, rich life that is impossible to imagine or hope for. So, the question that I bring this morning is, who are we living for? Is it ourselves, if we were to be honest? Or are we living for someone or something that we love? Or are we living for Jesus? Many people don't know who they are living for. It is sad, but they go through life aimlessly, without a purpose. Before we were Christians, life was meaningless and without a purpose, thinking from a worldly point of view. But our whole lives have changed once we were reconciled to Christ and was restored to our original purpose. With this in mind, would you please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's read from verses 11 to 21. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's read from verses 11 to 21. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal. Through us we implore you, on Christ's behalf be reconciled to God. God made him, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This whole passage concerns itself with the message of reconciliation. But what does the long term mean? It means exactly what it says, like a mending and a healing of relationship in two people, in this case, God and us. But unlike a reconciliation between two spouses, where each gives 50-50, or sometimes 60-40 or so, to reunite, God gave it all. 100%. All what is needed is our agreeing to what he did and our surrendering back into this relationship that he first intended for us. God first shared his glory and majesty with Adam and Eve. They had it perfect. They had it made. But the relationship was first broken by our first parents with their rebellion, and the rebellion carried over in our sin nature, where it is natural for us to rebel. Isn't this true? Even after we invited Jesus in our hearts, our old sin nature sometimes creeps up, making it natural, or really, in our redemption state, unnatural, to rebel against things that God tells us to do or not to do. So we must think how he thinks, talk like he talks, and love how he loves. This is a mind twister, so let me say it again. Our old sin nature sometimes creeps up, making it natural, or really, in our redemption state, unnatural, to rebel against things that God tells us to do or not to do. Did you get it? It is like rubbing against the grain in a thick forest with thorns and thistles pricking us on every side. God expects us to rub against the grain at first, but he very much wants to get us past this stage for us to live in the Spirit and live in peace. For rubbing against the grain by not doing things the world's way any longer is exactly where the Lord wants us at, and to do it in peace as our second nature. The secret to rub against the grain in a thick forest is to put on protective clothing so that we won't feel the thorns and thistles pricking us. Likewise, we have to be clothed in Jesus and walk in the fullness of his Spirit to enjoy abundant lives. That is the reason why every day, the Bible says that we must crucify our flesh. Our old nature is contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of God's love for us, however, He died for our naturalness to sin, so we could have a nature of godliness that comes naturally. We are to grow in it every day, so it will become our second nature, if you want to call it that, to do God's will, to love Him with everything that we have, and to love and bless other people, even if they might not like us. So, every day, we have to decide on whether we are going to live for Christ, who brings life, or for ourselves, that brings an emptiness and eventual spiritual death. Even if we are living for a loved one, spiritual death occurs with an emptiness deep inside us. For nobody can take the place of God who created us. I know exactly what this emptiness feels like when placing another person before God. In 1977, I got married to my first wife, Susie. She was beautiful, but her beauty captivated me so much that I took my eyes off of the Lord. Somehow, I was always looking up to Susie. It started long before, when I first laid my eyes on her. She always looked so beautiful. Next to her, I felt ugly and inadequate. Without my knowledge, I had placed her on a pedestal, and slowly, she began to become my God. As time wore on, I went through 3 separations. Suffered massive depression, and attempted suicide. After a separation of 4 months, we tried living together in a convalescent hospital, but the marriage was too far on the rocks. Once again, because of my unhealthy love, I allowed Susie to talk me into something that I did not want. This time, it was getting an annulment. I was terribly depressed and disillusioned, but I did not try to take my life again. Instead, I pressed into God and made Him my first love once more. Though I was hurting, it felt great to be with Him as I used to be. How many of you know that God is a jealous God? He will do anything to get us back to where we belong. After we are Christians, the decision to put God first has to be made every single day. Who are you living for? Jesus? Somebody else? Something? Or yourself? In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things has gone. The new things has come." The secret of this verse and the whole way of Christian living is in the phrase, "in Christ." Say, "United in Christ." United in Christ. We must be united in Christ. We must think how he thinks, talk like he talks, and love how he loves. Would you please turn to Ephesians chapter 5? Let's read verses 1 and 2. Again, Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." A big part of our transferring our naturalness in serving ourselves to the naturalness in serving the Lord comes by imitating him the best way we can. We imitated the things of the world before coming to know Jesus, and we were quite good at it, weren't we? For me, I had an identity crisis when growing up by wanting to be like my friends who were paralyzed from polio. Since I was born with cerebral palsy, I did not know what quote-unquote normal was. The closest thing to being normal was to be like my one particular friend, Jamie, totally paralyzed from the waist down to his toes, but could walk with braces and crutches. Since I had similar braces, I had therapists lock my legs straight at the knees when just sitting the way that Jamie always sat, so that he could get up to walk any time that he wanted. Besides this, my friend could do whatever he wanted and had perfect speech. So, as a kid, I wanted to be like him, just as you wanting to dress like your friends from before, or whatever your identity crisis was. Just for the record, I am over the identity crisis that I had as a kid. Sometimes you see me raise my legs in my chair. This is to keep my feet from getting swollen from having them hanging all day as I get older. Anyway, an identity crisis isn't good when it isn't properly channeled. For instance, most of us don't like the way our bodies are and try great lengths to alter them through changing the color of our hair and etc. We are either too fat or too skinny, too tall or too short. We don't like the color of our hair or not enough hair at all. We want to be like someone that we admire. By nature, we have an identity crisis and start to imitate. I remember several years ago my caregiver, Margarita, brought her 3-year-old grandson, Tommy. He loved me. The little boy saw her held up my low-tech communication board for me to talk to her. So, what did the boy do? He imitated Margarita by holding the word board up for me to point at whether I wanted to talk or not. It was so cute. As Christians, Jesus wants us to imitate him as Tommy imitated Margarita, his grandmother. and Jesus wants us to imitate him with as much or more vigor than imitating the things of the world previously. He wants us to have a crisis identity with him. There is nothing like a crisis identity with Jesus. We must think how he thinks, talk like he talks, and love how he loves. We must be like Jesus by imitating him. And that is the way that it should be in our new naturalness. Instead of walking, that would have been impossible for me in those stupid leg braces that I wore when I was a child. I am able to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, and you can, too. Amen. It is my personal belief that God gave us an average lifespan of 70 years for this process to take place in us, and he wants everybody to take the fullest advantage of it. He does not want us to slip in at the last minute, but he wants us the first chance that we get to fully imitate him as our best friend and the lover of our souls. He wants us to imitate him in loving others the way that he loves us. He desires us to care for people and be kind, bearing each other's burdens. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things has gone. The new things has come. It takes 70 years, or however many years, God has destined to give a person to switch from the naturalness to serve ourselves to the naturalness to serve Jesus with all of our might. The message of reconciliation, as evidenced by our willingness to imitate God as best as we know how, comes by abandoning the cravings of our flesh to where it is completely foreign to us. How many people have been startled almost to death by hearing yourself say an evil word or a thought after walking great with the Lord for such a long time? I know that I have, and it startled me. If you are anything like me, you look around to see who delivered that evil word or thought. You turn your head and see nobody. You cannot believe that it came from you. Who did that come from? We ask ourselves, who did it? Who did it? Who did it? Oh, no, it came from me. We come to the harsh realization that we did it. So, immediately, we confess it and repent. Hopefully, we don't stew in it, because it takes only once to ask God for his forgiveness. My point is that the deeds of our old flesh nature is completely foreign to us when it raises its ugly head. We are shocked and surprised that it came out of us. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things has gone. The new things has come. In the Greek, this 17th verse indicates that this is not immediate, but progressive, with the words, to be become new. As we mature in Christ, the old things have gone, buried at baptism, and the new identity in us is progressively coming out of us at the rate we give the Holy Spirit to penetrate our lives. The process is called transformation. As the band members start to make their way up here, would you please turn to Romans 12 and let's read verses 1 and 2. Again, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. What is his perfect will? For one, it is to become his righteousness by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. It takes maturing to get there. It involves a conscious decision to leave what we once did naturally that got us nowhere fast to be in Christ, who teaches us how to do things his way naturally and have the greatest love, peace, and joy that we have ever known. We must think how Jesus thinks, talk like he talks, and love how he loves. We must discover that our new identity is in Jesus. We have to imitate him so that our Christian walk will become natural. Amen. Amen. If the Holy Spirit touched you this morning, and if you feel as though as you have been placing the Lord's second fiddle instead of first in your life and feel a need of fresh intimate relationship with Jesus, would you please stand to your feet? If you cannot stand, like I can't, wave a hand. It is not to make me feel good, but for your benefit of confessing before your brothers and sisters. Do you want an identity crisis with Jesus? If this is you, stand up or raise your hand. Or maybe you are here today without never putting Jesus first place in your life. Now, do you want to? Stand up or raise your hand. Would everybody please join me in prayer? Father, thank you for each of our lives that you have given us. May we take full advantage of this life by living in the fullness of your Spirit. Teach us how to do it naturally, where it would be unnatural and foreign for us to live light previously in the dark. We are indeed reconciled to you, who gave everything 100%. We thank and praise you for sending your Son, Jesus, who left your glory and majesty to be born, so that he could die in our place with all of our sins. Thank you for raising him from the dead, conquering death, so we can choose to have an abundant life in him, now and forevermore. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you need further prayer, please come up here after the last praise song. Some of the leadership and I would love to pray for you. Before I turn it to the band, I would ask you to pray for me when I minister in Baja, Mexico. God willing, we will be leaving next Saturday and returning the following Wednesday. Also, I will see you this afternoon at the Nickerson's Barbecue. Oops, I pressed the wrong button. Thank you, and may God bless you. I love you all.
Please remain standing and join us in our last song, The Lord Almighty Reigns.
Okay, band. It is your turn to lead us in praise for an awesome God.
Hallelujah, 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 the Lord reigns. Hallelujah, 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 the Lord Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, 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 the Lord reigns.
Lord reigns.
Hallelujah, 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 the Lord Almighty reigns.
He has shown.
He has shown his awesome power. He has triumphed mightily. He's the victor over darkness and the grave.
He has broken the chains that bound us. He has set the prisoners free. By his own great mercy we are saved.
Hallelujah, 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 the Lord reigns.
Lord reigns.
Hallelujah, 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 the Lord Almighty reigns.
Hallelujah, the Lord Almighty reigns.
Hallelujah. The Lord Almighty reigns.
Thank you, Pastor Rick.
See you at
Thank you, everybody.